Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, hello and happy weekend. How you doing? Frank Rush here. Welcome to another Focus on Community. Good to have you along. By the way, don't forget, if you miss any part of today's program or you'd like to listen to another part over again, maybe you think you missed something, it's easy to do. Head on over to our website. We've got everything right there for you as a podcast. And you can go back and review, download, listen to it again, all you want. Today, our guest is Amanda Small. She is with the Children's Bureau Incorporated. She's the director of the Children's Bureau in our area. Amanda, how you doing today?
Good. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit. First of all, I don't think maybe some folks, unless maybe they're involved in your line of work, are all that familiar with who the Children's Bureau is. So let's talk about that. Who is, what is the Children's Bureau Incorporated?
So Children's Bureau is a nonprofit agency that works to help families that are maybe going through a difficult time. Our main goal is to prevent child abuse and keep families and children happy and safe. So we get a lot of referrals from schools and the Department of Child Services just to help those families that might need a little bit of extra help right now.
So you are or are not some kind of governmental agency?
We are not a governmental agency.
Okay, but you do work with them, though. That's kind of part of it, right?
Yes. So we get some referrals from, like I said, anyone can actually fill out a referral for our services, and they're completely voluntary. So we do get referrals from government offices, DCS, like I said, schools, medical offices. We've had referrals from legal professionals. Pretty much anyone can refer clients to our agency if they could see that there's a benefit for the client.
So who actually benefits the most from what you do? Are you looking to help kids in difficult situations? Are you all about the whole family? Can I give us a little bit more of a focus on that?
Yeah, so we want to benefit the children. That's why we're the Children's Bureau. But we also realize that the biggest way that we can have an impact on children is to improve the family situation. So we might work more directly with the parents or the guardians, but understanding that that benefit is going to reach the children.
Now, do you work with, do you try to get kids into foster care and that kind of stuff, or are you mainly just trying to keep them where they're at with the actual family?
Yeah, so our goal is to keep the children where they're at with their family. We can't work with families that are already involved with the Department of Child Services. We're really trying to prevent them from getting involved. So that's our focus, is to keep the children in their home and help the families with whatever skills or resources they need to make that happen.
Well, so how do families get to the point where they need your help? I mean, we hear all kinds of stories nowadays about, you know, how families break up and have problems and this, that, and the other, drug abuse and this, that, and the other thing. Unemployment causes family problems. How do you guys actually get called in to help out here, and what causes the need for what you do?
So when we get called in, families can sign up for the services themselves, so they might recognize that they have a need for assistance, so they can refer themselves to the program, or maybe they had an assessment completed with the Department of Child Services, and it's not something that really warrants opening a case on them, but they still need some sort of assistance. That's another case when we might get called in. Or really when any, like I've said, when schools, sometimes we get referrals from them, maybe when a kiddo's having a difficult time with something, we can help get them linked up to resources, to other community resources that they might need, help them get set up with a therapist, get connected to medical resources. So if a kiddo's not been to checkups, or help with parenting skills, to ensure that kids are going to school. That's been a big one this year, providing support to parents and parenting skills, especially during COVID when they've kind of been thrown into multiple roles at home. Mm-hmm. We help with budgeting. So if families are having difficulty managing their expenses, we can provide them the budgeting skills that they need and help find resources to help them get back on track and get some of the bills paid. So those are just a couple examples of some of the ways that we can help.
So I see a couple of ways that you guys go about what you do. So do you try to, and correct me if I'm wrong on this assessment, do you kind of help parents be parents who maybe don't know how to be parents?
Well, we don't really want to say it like that.
Well, I know. I'm probably the one who puts it in the nicest light, and I don't maybe phrase it quite right, but for somebody who doesn't know anything about it, that's kind of what I thought of. So
yeah.
correct me.
So it's just kind of giving everyone a helping hand because parenting is hard, and sometimes they just need a little extra help.
And when it comes to the kids, are these kids I'm trying to think of the right way to put this, but I mean, are they kids that just don't know how to deal with life or certain situations and you help them kind of learn how to do those things? You mentioned, when you talk to schools and that kind of stuff, are these kids that just maybe, I won't say don't know how to behave, but they just don't know how to deal with certain situations. You kind of help teach them how to do that.
So we really try and give the parents the skills to manage any behaviors. And then if we feel like maybe the child is having a difficult time, then we would maybe get them set up with counseling or some other service to assist them with that.
Mm-hmm. What age of kids do you guys work with the most, or do you find that you can help the most? Are we talking little kids, young kids, elementary, kindergarten, that kind of thing? Are we talking like, young teens or something like that?
I feel like we have a pretty good representation across the board. One of the other things that we do is we provide safe sleep classes to parents. So when they do that, right now, because of COVID, we're doing it on an individual basis. So if somebody needs a pack and play for their baby, they can call the office and we will get them set up with a safe sleep class. Once they complete the class, then they get a free pack and play. So we do utilize that a lot, and so does our community, and we want to keep doing that. So that, we try and have a lot of interaction with younger children too. But yeah, I would say there's not really a group that sticks out the most. Mm. It's pretty equivalent across the board.
Okay. Now, how are you guys, obviously nothing in life is free, so how are you funded? I mean, do people have to pay for your services? You mentioned earlier you were non-for-profit, so I'm assuming, obviously there's a certain amount of contributions that help fund what you do. So how do you guys perform the service that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So we receive a good chunk of our funding from the Department of Child Services. For prevention services. So that is our focus, is to keep families from becoming involved with the Department of Child Services. And then we also receive grants through organizations. We've received funding from the Wabash Valley Community Foundation, and it's when people make grants like that or provide us funding like that, that's how we're able to help families.
And you're a fairly big organization. I mean, even though you are here in Terre Haute and you serve folks here in the Wabash Valley, the Children's Bureau is not just Wabash Valley. I mean, you guys are kind of all over the place, right?
Yeah. So our focus is more in like the central Indiana portion. So we have an office in, our largest office is in Indianapolis. And then we serve, in this area, we serve Park, Vermilion, Clay, Vigo, and Sullivan. And then it kind of goes up from there, up and across. We have offices in Hendricks County, Anderson, Muncie, and all the way over to Ohio.
Wow, okay, so you're all over the place. So, and yeah. Again, I mean, so folks call you and they reach out to you. Like I said, is there a bill for what you do, or how does that work?
No, all of our services are free to families, and they are completely voluntary, like I said before. We are a short-term service, so we won't stay in the picture forever. We try and have help the families and get everything done within 6 months. But if a need arises later, that they can always re-enroll in our services.
And of course, you guys do serve an awful, as with anything nowadays, there's always more demand and more need than there is supply. But you guys service literally thousands of kids every year.
Yes, absolutely, we do.
I would say the numbers I saw was something like 40,000 kids and something like 20,000 families or something like that, right?
Yeah, so that would be for the whole state.
Yeah, but
not
still
in this area.
but that's an awful lot.
It is, yes.
And it shows there is a real demand and a need for what you do. And again, like I said, there's probably more demand than there is supply.
Absolutely. And so that's why it's really important for us to always reach out and look for opportunities where we can get additional grant funding for our program.
And you guys have recently teamed up just this year with another organization. I guess you've kind of worked with them in the past, but now there's actually an official sort of joining at the hip, so to speak, with Families First, that you guys work with them now. And you kind of complement each other in your ultimate goal.
Yep. So that's more in the Marion County office, but hopefully we hope to eventually have more opportunities in the smaller regions. But yes, we have merged with Families First, and they were more of a therapeutic focus. So they're really able to bring that clinical element to what we do. We offer intervention services here at our office in Terre Haute, and we serve all of the same counties that we already serve. So we help with case management and father engagement at this office, and hope to eventually help with therapy. So for our intervention services, those services are for families that are already engaged with the Department of Child Services.
Amanda Small is our guest today with Children's Bureau Incorporated. She is located here in Terre Haute. So how do folks, do they find you on the web to see exactly what it is you do, or see if maybe you can help them out? How do they get a hold of you, and how do they really decide if maybe you're something they need to get in touch with?
Yeah, so we have a website. It is childrensbureau.org. And you can just get on there, and there will be a place where you can click on your region and find out more information about us.
So, Amanda, how did you get involved with the Children's Bureau? How did you come to be involved with them?
So I have a master's in social work, and I've just always wanted to I like working with children and families, and it's just something that I naturally wanted to do.
When people take a look at an organization like this, especially if they think they might be in need of or may benefit from your services, they probably kind of wonder, am I getting involved in some big corporate warehouse type of situation here, or is this a small group? I mean, how many people are in your office, and you know, how do they, I mean, are they getting into some kind of machine here, or are they getting involved with some people that are really going to reach out and be very personable with them?
Yeah, so we are a small office here. In Vigo County, we have 8 employees, and we all live in this community. So we're familiar with the resources, and we're familiar with the needs and the struggles that our families are dealing with. So I feel like we're very in touch with our clients.
Talk about that a little bit, because I know that as time goes on, things do change a little bit. But what causes the need for what you do? Are you seeing an underlying thing there that basically causes the need for you to be there to help out?
So some of the issues that we've seen a lot of this year are a need for affordable housing for our clients. It's been very difficult to find those resources and finding enough housing. Getting access to like medical resources, or maybe they have a lack of insurance, educational resources, and these things are here. It's just helping guide families to these resources. So knowing, we need to know about what's available so that we can help our clients find out what's available.
How much has the pandemic really increased the problems that you see out there that you have to deal with?
I feel like it's slowing down right now, but when it hit initially, we did have a higher need of families that maybe had never had to access our resources before. But suddenly they're out of a job. Maybe, you know, you have somebody that works in a restaurant. When the restaurants aren't there, they don't have a paycheck. So there was an increased need during the pandemic.
One of the things that I've heard from other folks at other agencies that help kids and families and that kind of stuff, too, and I suppose it's no real surprise, and I imagine you folks run into it, substance abuse in the family sometimes can really wreak havoc. And I imagine that is something that you guys tend to run into on occasion as well.
Yes, it is. And when we know that a family is struggling with something like that, although it's not something personally that we deal with, we definitely try and help them get access to treatment in our community.
And one of the things you really do is you kind of, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I get the impression, you kind of act as a clearinghouse, too, to make sure that when families need certain services or they need the help of a certain agency or group or whatever, you're there to kind of act as a clearinghouse to kind of get them pointed in the right direction. Because let's face it, you don't get any help if you don't have a roadmap on how to get there.
Yes, absolutely. That's a really good description of how we operate.
And if folks are actually out there trying to get in touch with these kind of, because we talk about the families and the kids, but what about the other end of it? How do those other agencies and stuff that maybe we haven't heard of you, or maybe they know about you, but they haven't really thought about, how do they get a hold of you and how do they get involved in what you do? How do they become a part of the answer?
So they could just reach out to our local office. Or, like I said, refer to our website, childrensbureau.org, and then there's a tab that specifically says opportunities, and it kind of tells you a little bit more about how to get involved with us.
Children's Bureau Incorporated, childrensbureau.org is their website, and Amanda Small is our guest today. And Amanda, if families want to get a hold of you, is it best to go to the webpage, call you? What do they do?
So families can go to the website and fill out a referral if they would like our services. That's the quickest way to do that. They are also welcome to call us, but we will probably refer them to the website also. They can call us at 812-231-8607.
And, of course, just getting in touch with you can find out whether or not you're the right place to get the answers to questions they may have. That's the whole start
of it.
Absolutely. That's the start of it. Reach out and get a hold of you, because nothing happens until the conversation begins.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, all right. Amanda Small, Children's Bureau Incorporated, thank you for being with us today. If you missed any part of today's show, go back and listen to the podcast over, and you can hear it all over again. Children's Bureau Incorporated, again, they've got lots of things out there that can help families, and they may be able to help yours. If there's a need that exists, be sure and look them up. And we will see you again next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.